Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Faith works. Unfortunately, sometimes heat doesn't. And sometimes technology, as I've discovered this morning, doesn't work. But we're going to do our best to communicate God's precious and powerful word. We're in the middle of a series on the book of James, which is, I believe, perhaps the most practical book of the entire Bible. How many of you like practical? You like to just get to the point. And the rest of you are like, let's take a little detour. Let's take the long way. Let's meander around. It's okay, either way. But I'm a let's get practical, let's get right to the point. In fact, if you go to PastorKirk.com, you will find message notes for all the messages that I've given over the last, 10 years or so. And at the very beginning of each one of those blog posts, if you will, it says, big idea. Someone told me years ago, if you can't explain the big idea of your sermon in one sentence, you got way too much stuff. So we're going to get to that big idea in just a moment. But before we do, what is the first thing you think of when you think of the word wisdom? What is the first thing you think of with the word wisdom? Age, Solomon, indecision, decisions, big decisions. Okay. No one said gray hair. I was waiting for someone to say gray hair. Now, I have to admit that in this crazy world of COVID and fake news, it's really hard to figure out what true wisdom is. In fact, it's hard to even figure out what true information is. What's true about anything in our world. It's been said that knowledge is information and wisdom is the application of that information. That there are a lot of really, really smart people that are not very wise. A lot of intelligent people that know a lot of trivia, a lot of data, a lot of information, but applying that is where they struggle. And indeed, wisdom, as Proverbs says and is said throughout the scriptures, wisdom is a mighty treasure. It's an incredible, incredible gift. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that's struggling in this culture to figure out what true wisdom is and even what real news is. But I have to tell you that this morning we're going to talk about wisdom. We're going to talk about godly wisdom versus earthly wisdom. And for those of you that are looking for the big idea, I'm just going to lay it out for you right now, right at the very beginning. The truly wise, they seek heavenly wisdom rather than human understanding. The truly wise seek heavenly wisdom rather than human understanding. And the problem is most of us are so exposed to human understanding, to human concepts, to news and information and social media and all that stuff that we don't pay enough attention to heavenly wisdom, which was what we're going to look at today. But first, let's pray. Almighty God, I thank you that you are a God who is truly wise. I thank you, Lord, that you are greater, you are holy, you are powerful, you are awesome in every way. And we pause today to give you our full attention, to devote not only this time, but this day, this week, this month, the remainder of this year, that it may bring you glory. To you be the glory for the things that you have done, as Ron sang. And even as we look at your word, as we study your word together, Lord, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, one of the great tensions that we have as followers of Jesus is that we are in the world, but we are not to be of the world. Have you noticed that tension? Any of you experience this? We are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. If you've ever visited another country, you know that you are in another place, but you're not actually a resident. That's not your home. That's not your true identity and your culture, and you can do things to fit in. You can do things to be a good tourist or a good visitor. But you recognize it's not really home. This world is not our home. And yet we fill our minds with so much stuff of this world that we forget where our home is, where our citizenship is, where identity is. This is what we need to be filling our minds with. And not just for 10 seconds, read a verse, be done for the day. I just wonder how many followers of Jesus, if we were to really look and just gauge, and I'm guilty of this too, the amount of time that we spend watching news, reading social media, listening to messages and podcasts that may or may not be true, versus our exposure to the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now make no mistake, this Bible is not what we worship. Some people have made the Bible into an idol. I don't know if you know that. We can make an idol out of all sorts of good things. We worship Jesus, but this is how we get to know Jesus. Through God's Word and through the Holy Spirit. You might say through the Holy Bible and the Holy Spirit, we get to know the Holy God. But we worship Jesus. And we've got to expose our minds to Jesus. So, as I said, we're in the middle of a series of the book of James. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at James chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 13 today. James chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Now, I could easily preach this two-hour sermon. My wife said, go for it. All right, here we go. We could easily talk just about this verse alone. I mean, this one verse is loaded. Let them show it by their good life. I just like the word show it. Prove it. Our sister church, that neighborhood church, says, love God, love others, prove it. I like that. You know, so often we have these great ideas in our head. We know the right answer, but living it's a whole different thing. How many of you think it would be a good idea for us to care for the poor and the needy around the world? Raise your hand. How many of you think that would be a really good idea? I mean, who's against that? The question is, and no show of hands, what have you done about it? See, it's one thing to think in your head a right thought, but it's another thing to take action, to actually do something about it. We all think good, positive things. We all know evangelism and sharing good news with people is a good idea. It's another thing to say, are we engaged in it? It's one thing to care for the poor in our head. It's another thing to do it in real life. We all say it's right to love our neighbor, but do we? When they drive us crazy? It's one thing to love others, the ones like us, but what if it means loving your enemy? See, there's a huge difference between orthodoxy, which is right thinking, and orthopraxy, which is right living. And so James starts this whole passage in verse 13 talking about wisdom, and he's saying, hey, are you wise? Show it. Prove it. Not by your talk, not by your great intellectual thoughts, your lofty ideas, but your good life by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. I love that phrase, humility that comes from wisdom. The wisest man that ever lived was Jesus. I gotcha. Other than Jesus, many would regard Solomon as the wisest man in the world. And when God essentially said that he would grant Solomon any wish, we've looked at this before, and I love this. God said, any wish, and God and he asked for a heart of understanding. 1 Kings 3:5, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. How many of you have had that experience? I'm waiting for that dream. I'm waiting for that request. Come on, Lord, bring it on. He said, ask for whatever you want. But seriously, how would you respond? This is what Solomon said. He said, next slide, please. He said, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern the great people of yours? The Lord was so pleased that Solomon had asked for this. And it continues on, because see, wisdom is precious. Wisdom is very rare in our culture. I mean, if you think about it, you know, all this political stuff, all these arguments and chaos, If true wisdom was sought and everybody experienced the same wisdom, there'd be no problems. There'd be no issues. We would say, oh, well, this is what true wisdom is. We've sought the Lord. The Lord has said this, and we make a decision going forward. Family, this is our desire for our leaders at First Alliance, and for any Christian leader for that matter, that when we gather together as staff, when we get together as elders, and I'm sure the same can be said as deacons and deaconesses and trustees, when we gather, we begin and we say, Lord, we want your wisdom. And Holy Spirit, if you are speaking to us, there should be a unanimous vote, a unified spirit. Now, this doesn't mean we never disagree, doesn't mean we don't vote, doesn't mean that there aren't disagreements to come. But it would seem to me that if the Holy Spirit is speaking to us and true wisdom is sought, and we all experience God's wisdom, we would find great joy, we would find great discernment, and we would be able to move forward in a unified message. We all need wisdom. We all need God's wisdom. And while we're on the subject of politics, I'll just say this. I pray for every president, every governor, every mayor. Not that they vote my way. I pray that they vote God's way. I don't care what party they're a part of. I don't care what their platform is. I pray for every politician that they would get on their knees and seek God's wisdom, and not the wisdom of man. And I don't even want to say the wisdom of their political party, because I'm not sure there is much wisdom there. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done, and the humility that comes from wisdom. Oh, humility. Yeah, that's a popular one, isn't it? Humility is the hallmark of the wise. It kind of makes you think twice about those people you thought were wise. I didn't say wise guys. See, I don't know about you, but I've met a lot of people in my life that claim to be wise and that lack humility. At times, that's been me. But Scripture makes it clear that the truly wise are humble. It's funny, I was talking to my wife recently about a friend of mine, and I said, he's like that rare blend of confidence and humility. Actually, I'll go public and say, it was my friend Ron King, who's the lead pastor over at Westside Community Church. He's got more gray hair than I do. A wonderful man that has spoken much into my life. And he speaks with such confidence and such clarity and such wisdom. And yet somehow through it all, he manages to come across with humility, with a heart of understanding and a desire to listen and to learn and to understand. Humility is the hallmark of the wise. I think it takes a humble person to actually seek God's humility, God's wisdom in the first place. The independent, autonomous person has no need of God or anyone else, which is perhaps why Scripture says that when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Honestly, I can't remember too many sermons, maybe any sermon, that link these two together. I mean, it's found in Proverbs, it's found in James, that humility and wisdom go together. If you want to be wise, get on your knees and humble yourself. We're told, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. We used to sing an old song in the 70s about that. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Oh, okay, well, that's for another day. But if he will lift you up. And too often we've seen so-called wise people, smart people, famous people, intellectual people that lift themselves up. Look at how great I am. Look at my title. Look at my book. Look at my platform. I mean, we have a whole industry. And by the way, this is Christian as well as non-Christian. Don't think it's just out for those non-Christian people. There's a whole Christian industry of media trying to promote people, celebrities. Buy this book. Watch this movie. Watch this DVD. This is what you need. Go to this concert. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. This really shouldn't be a surprise to us. After all, the root sin of Lucifer, the fallen angel, the guy we call Satan, was pride. He got kicked out of heaven. And as we understand it, a third of the angels went with him because he wanted to be God. He thought he was greater than God. He wanted to overthrow. It was a coup attempt, and he failed. And God's left him alone more or less for the last several thousand years, but a day is coming when his time will be up. Verse 14, if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Like, who would boast about their bitter envy? Now James is calling out what it means to follow earthly wisdom. See, the fruit of the world includes envy and strife and boasting. That's what the fruit of the world looks like. Have you ever seen this in a person? Your boss, coworker, neighbor, someone on TV? The fruit of the world, it's all about envy, strife, and boasting. False wisdom reveals itself through these things, through envy and selfish ambition. As people are trying to get a brand and make a name for themselves. The world exalts man and women, while the kingdom always points to God and His glory. That's the true test of a follower of Jesus. Are they in it for themselves? Or are they in it for their glory? Or is their life a reflection of God's glory? See, I've often thought about how we are the moon, and I've mentioned this a time or two, but we are the moon. We just reflect the sun. S-U-N, S-O-N, you know, have a little play with words. But it's our job to be in alignment with the Son of God and then reflect that light. You know, the moon itself has no light, which I find remarkable. Have you ever been out, like, in a really dark, dark place, and the moon is just bursting forth with light? I mean, you can almost read a book sometimes just in the moonlight. And yet the moon has no light at all. Nothing. All it can do is reflect the light. And family, that's what I want my life to be like. That's what I want your life to be like. We don't have any light in and of ourselves. All we do is reflect and shine the light and bring Him glory. Which is why, Ron, today was a perfect day for you to sing that song. To God be the glory. It's not about me, it's about Him. Many of you have heard the famous story of Muhammad Ali, the great boxer. And he was known for, well, he was known for his boxing and his boasting. My favorite story is still the day that he was on the airplane and the flight attendant asked him to buckle his seatbelt. And he said, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." And the flight attendant replied, "Superman don't need no airplane." See, boasting is great for TV entertainment, but it's not an expression of heavenly wisdom. It usually involves lies, too. In fact, James says this in the next verse. He says, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. I know perhaps you've heard people say, oh, wow, that's so satanic. Oh, that's so demonic. And we kind of throw that word around, and sometimes I think we give the enemy too much credit. But here, James is really clear about things that are demonic, that are satanic. The wisdom that comes from heaven is pure, and then peace-loving, and considerate, submissive, full of mercy, and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. See, here's a list that describes the good stuff, the heavenly wisdom. We saw back in verse 13 that wisdom is humble. Who is wise and understanding among you? By the way, some translations, I thought this was interesting. Some translations, instead of humility, talk about meekness, which is not weakness, but it's power under control. Oftentimes we hear about someone that's meek and we think, oh, meek is weak. You're just a doormat. You're just a pushover. Meek is weak. No. Meekness is power under control. The word actually comes, the original Greek, it talks about this idea of a horse that has been broken. It's the right use of power, the right use of knowledge, and they go together. Knowledge, Right use of knowledge, right use of power go together and form wisdom. The ability to do the right thing, the ability to know the right thing, the ability to bring God glory. Verse 17, the wisdom that comes from heaven is, again, pure. First of all, pure. Let's talk about purity for a moment. I think purity gets a bad rap. We've kind of got this, we talked about purity culture. People have talked about purity culture in the last several years. It seems to get a really, really bad rap. Like, well, nobody's perfect. So let's not try. Let's just embrace all of our mess. Let's glory about it. Let's throw parades and celebrations for all of our weaknesses and sins and flaws. And purity, wisdom is first of all pure. How many of you would like to drink water that's 99% pure? And 1% toxic? My grandma used to use that soap, Ivory soap, 99 and 44 hundredths or something percent. I never really understood that. But there's something about purity, about flawless. This is what wisdom is all about. God's wisdom is also that filled with peace. Peace. The fruit of the Spirit includes peace and gentleness. See, if a church is pure, it will experience peace. This is not about turning a blind eye to sin. It's not throwing things under the carpet. It's calling things out. It's speaking the truth in love, and it's seeking peace. It's seeking God's wisdom, God's will, and for us to experience shalom, the deep peace, wholeness, completeness, lacking nothing. The next element is gentleness or being considerate. It's not about, again, being a doormat or just being nice, but rather what one man called sweet reasonableness. Abraham Lincoln was described by Carl Sandburg as a man of velvet steel. That's gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit includes peace and gentleness. The list also includes being submissive and or compliant. Earthly wisdom makes a person stubborn, but a truly wise person can listen to others without disagreement, can gather all the information, and can be respectful in the process. I know it's a foreign concept in today's cancel culture. Obviously, one can't agree with everyone and make everyone happy, but we can love, we can respect. Yielding to persuasion is one translation of this word, gentleness. Which brings to mind Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is how we are to live in the family. Brothers and sisters, we are to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is wise, godly compliance. Next in James 3:17, he talks about mercy. He actually says, heavenly wisdom is full of mercy. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Maybe you played that game as a kid with the hands and you try to like rip the other person's fingers off until they cry mercy. Stop, stop, don't punish me anymore. I don't want any more punishment. I don't want any more pain. We often confuse mercy and grace and love and forgiveness and all those words. Mercy means not getting what we deserve. If we got what we deserve, family, that's why Pastor Donald always says he's better than he deserves. Wisdom is full of mercy. And it's also full of good fruit. A good fruit. How many of you have ever taken a bite of a piece of bad fruit? Reminds me of the story of the guy who took a bite of an apple and he said he found a worm in it. And he said, you know, the only thing worse than finding a worm in your apple is finding half a worm in your apple. Bad fruit. Our world is filled with bad fruit, but the wisdom of God, it is filled with good fruit. Faithful people are fruitful. Is the fruit of the Spirit visible in your life? This is a great test right here. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This to me is kind of the checklist of how I'm doing spiritually. See, again, people often talk about orthodoxy. Well, I have a lot of information, a lot of knowledge. I memorize a lot of books of the Bible. I know all these data. I can go on Jesus Jeopardy and win every single day. But do you love people? Do you possess humility? Are you kind, faithful, gentle? Or are you just full of yourself? There was a group in Jesus' day that had all sorts of knowledge, all sorts of earthly wisdom. They're called the Pharisees. They look nothing like this. This is the fruit that James is talking about. There's good fruit that comes out of a life of someone who has wisdom. I wonder if I'm more of this today than I was a year ago. I pray that I am. It's also impartial, single-minded, sincere, decisive. Warren Wiersbe says this, "Wisdom from above brings strength from above." I love that. Wisdom from above brings strength from above. It allows us not to function out of our abilities, our stuff, but out of God's strength. Even when I preach, family, my prayer is that you hear from the Holy Spirit and not from me. If you leave today and say, "Pastor Kirk, you preached a great sermon," I would much rather you say, "The Lord spoke today." I don't want you to hear from me. I don't want to make a name for myself. I don't care if you even know my name, but I want you to know the name of Jesus. I want to lift Jesus up, and I want Jesus to always get the glory, whether I'm preaching or singing or sitting in my office. See, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. James adds one final statement, which summarizes much of what we examined. And in verse 18, he says, "Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." How many of you want to reap a harvest of righteousness? A harvest of goodness, a harvest of plenty, a harvest of abundance. Is this true? Is this really true? Well, of course it's true. It's God's word. It might not make you popular in the eyes of the world, but you'll be a champion in the eyes of the Lord. How many of you know it's easy to be a champion in the eyes of the world, but it's a different thing entirely to be a champion in the eyes of the Lord? I was thinking this morning about this song I listened to years ago. It says, "I want to live before an audience of one and someday hear the Lord say, 'Well done.'" An audience of one. And I have to admit, family, there are days where I want your approval. There are days where I seek the audience of other people. I want to hear the applause of men and women. I want to be popular. I want to be liked. I want people to say nice things. But ultimately, I want to forego all of that for the sake of hearing, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Paul described it this way in Galatians chapter 5. He says, "Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction." Let me say that again. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. I know none of you want that. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Do you seek wisdom, family? Do you truly seek wisdom? As the music team comes up, we're going to close with a song in just a moment. But I want to ask you, do you seek wisdom? And if so, where do you seek wisdom? You know, there's a lot of great sources of knowledge out there. I listen to podcasts. I read books. I've taken in YouTube videos. I've attended conferences and seminars. But the source of true wisdom is found here. When given the choice on Sunday morning between earthly and heavenly wisdom, I know all of you will say heavenly wisdom because that's the right answer. That's the correct answer. Everybody knows Sunday morning, Jesus, God, the Bible. But the real question is, what about tomorrow? When you get to school tomorrow, when you get to the office, when you're doing your grocery shopping, filling up with gas, watching those kids? Are you going to be seeking the way of the world? Are you going to get your info from one of those famous celebrities, talk show hosts? Fill your mind with that stuff. I'm not saying it's all bad. I'm saying this is where godly, heavenly wisdom can be found. You know, the Bible's filled with stories of men and women promoting themselves, arguing about who is the greatest, trying to build a tower up to heaven, putting on armor on a young boy, trying to dismiss a hungry crowd in the midst of a potential miracle. The list goes on and on. And there's nothing wrong with seeking advice from others, but make sure that your wise counsel is seeking godly counsel. Heavenly wisdom produces blessing, good fruit, abundant life, eternal life. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. And it begins with seeking wisdom. The truly wise seek human wisdom, seek heavenly wisdom rather than human understanding. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Here's my paraphrase today. Seek God and his kingdom and his righteousness and his wisdom, and you will be blessed beyond measure. Doesn't mean life will be easy, but it will be full and satisfying and a life worth living. But it all begins with surrender. It begins with laying down your agenda, your stuff, inviting the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to produce that good fruit in our lives. So as we sing this song, it's a song about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we say, come, Holy Spirit. Well, the Spirit's already here. Where can I go from your presence? But there's something I believe that's powerful about us submitting ourselves, submitting our lives to the Lord, about inviting him, welcoming the Spirit into our lives, into our hearts, into this space. Some of you might want to kneel as we sing this song. Maybe you want to stretch out your hands like this in a posture of giving, of openness, of surrender. Some people raise their hands like this, or even like this. Surrender. I surrender. It's kind of a universal symbol. I surrender. It doesn't make you more holy, more spiritual. But it can be a physical demonstration of an inward heart and desire. Lord, I surrender to you. Come, fill me. I give up my junk. Fill me with your fruit. So if you want to stand, if you want to sit, if you want to kneel, online, whatever you want to do, this is not just, let's sing a song, closing song. This is our response to God's word, a response to seeking first his wisdom, his kingdom, that we may become more like Jesus.